God is awesome in this place.
Our faith is built each time we hear the Word of God. We hope you'll enjoy this life-changing message from Countryside Christian Center. When you finish, feel free to share this tape with others. Our church address is 1850 McMullen Booth Road, Clearwater, Florida, 33759. You can reach us by calling 727-799-1618 or log on to www.countrysidechristiancenter.org.
Got your Bibles? Lord, I thank you for your presence today. God, we do thank you, Lord. Lord, this nation's got problems, but Lord, we just believe it's still the greatest nation on the face of this earth. You've blessed it. And we pray in grace you continue to intervene and that you would bless it. And Lord, you would use us and Christians, Lord, across this land to be that standard. And that God was always in times of darkness, you brought revival to our nation. And again, we ask you in darkness to bring your revival and to turn people to you. Change the course of this nation and its destiny in the name of Jesus. Now today, use me to bring your word. And Holy Spirit, you're the one that's going to make it alive to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to kind of take a survey here and ask some questions. And I want us to make some declarations, okay? And you've got to vote. And so, first I want to ask you, how many of you are saved? I'm looking for hands, all right? All right. And second, how many of you believe that beyond any doubt that this is the greatest and most important thing that ever happened to you when you found the Lord? Let me see your hands. Okay. All right. How many of you believe that these are the latter days and we're getting closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? You believe that? Okay. You got it for answer right so far. All right. How many of you believe in a heaven and hell? How many believe you're going to heaven? Okay, that's good. If you believe that getting saved was the greatest and most important thing that ever happened to you, then do you believe that that is the greatest and most important thing that could happen to anybody? How many of you believe that? All right. And with that in mind, then do we conclude that it's most important for us as a church and should even be a priority to making an effort to reach out to people around us? Can I see? I'm looking for hands. Okay. So, you know, I mean, I didn't see any naysayers in here, you know. But, it looked to me from here is like 100%. This morning, there's a board up over here. It says, love compelled him, love compels us. And on the bottom, you probably can't see it from the other side of the room, but Luke 14:23 is part of that scripture when Jesus said, compel them to come in that my house may be filled. So I could ask again, if Jesus said it and ask us to do it, how many believe he means exactly what he says, you know? Now, I lost some of you that time. How many of you believe that God wants us to do it? Okay. So it's because of his love that he died. It's because of his love we're in the kingdom. And it's because of that love in us that we reach out to others. You see the harvest, and it says summer harvest 2007. And I believe that God wants us to really, really reach out. I know. And I'm challenging you to bring 2007 visitors in the summer of 2007. And every time a visitor comes, we're going to take off a square. And we're going to clear that board by the end of the summer. And I want to remember what you told me you believed a couple minutes ago. There are some things that would help us in the back. There's, for one thing, there are these cards that says you're cordially invited. It's not hard. You know, wherever you are, just carry some of these in your purse and your billfold. I got some in the car. And I still give them out all the time. They're just continually, you know, wherever I am, I'm just giving them out, inviting people to come. And then to help you as an aid, and these aren't to randomly just give out to people everywhere, but this is for you. And that as you come into a place where you really want to minister to a person and bring spiritual light and have an opportunity to lead them to the Lord, to use this as a guide to help you and to familiarize yourselves with it. It's a four spiritual law, and it's helped with, believe me, to lead thousands and thousands and thousands of people to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's simple, it's easy, and you can get these. Now, I want you to load up with bulks of these, you know, because we got to spread it out for the whole congregation, but you can get these things on the way out today. With that in mind, I want to share today seven reasons why you must reach out to others. Seven reasons why you must reach out to others. Number one, it was the last thing Jesus told us to do before he ascended into heaven, left us. At least bodily. The last words he spoke, the Great Commission, the most important thing that he said. I mean, even a dying man, the last words we're going to listen, no matter who they are. But Jesus, we're going to listen. Last instructions he gave. And that it's not the great suggestion. It's the Great Commission. It's not just suggesting we do it. It was so important that the Lord shared it five times. Once in every gospel and in the book of Acts. Five times. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go there. He's saying, now in that authority, you go therefore. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things, whatever I have commanded you. And I'm going to be with you always, even unto the end of this age. In Mark 16, 15, he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every being, every creature. In Luke 24, verses 45 through 49, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, it's written, and that it's behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name, in his name, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. John 20, verses 21, 22. Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And we know in Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, he said that you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both to me in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's when he was received upon their sight. The last thing he said, you're going to be witnesses. And I'm going to give you the Spirit. How many have the Spirit of God in you today? So he didn't just give it to us to give us goosebumps. Woo, man. Woo, it's so good to have the Spirit. Woo. You know, or to brag to somebody else, I've got the Holy Spirit. You know, you need to get it. You know, and be like you. You know, but God gave it to us what? That we would be witnesses and have a power in our lives to live it, to be a witness for the Lord. And so that's the first thing, because Jesus commissioned us to do it. How can we ignore it? I could ask again for a vote here. How many of you believe that we're going to be held accountable one of these days for it? You see? Yes, we will. Number two, that bringing salvation is God's number one priority. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish. God loved the world and gave his Son that he would suffer and he would die, that salvation could come to us and to the world. It says in Luke 19 that Jesus said, I have come to seek and save the lost. That's his heart. That's the heart we're to have. Came to seek and save the lost. That's what he thought about. That's what he prayed about. That was his passion. That's what was there, day and night. That was his passion, to walk in the Father's will, to be led to those people and to his plan, to those that are out there, and to bring life to those that were lost, to seek those who were lost. Matthew 16:26 says, "And for what's a man profit if he gain the whole world and then lose his soul? What will man give in exchange for soul? What's the wealth of this world? What's all the pleasures of life? What's our own priority compared to one soul?" In Luke 15:7, he said, "I say that likewise joy shall be in heaven over just one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just people that don't need to repent." And he said, "Likewise, I say unto you that there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over just one sinner who repents." You don't think that's a priority? That all angels stop and praise God and rejoice over just one person that gets saved? That everything stops and they begin to rejoice? Doesn't say that about anything else except salvation. Number three, because heaven and hell are real. "Whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Matthew 13:42 said it's a place of torment, pain, gnashing of teeth. But it's eternal. So I don't believe that. You already raised your hand and said you do believe it. Jesus also said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you can be with me." That the Lord over and over again talked about eternal life and about heaven. That's why he came. This is all temporal. He even promised that we're going to rule and reign with him. "For these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." If the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you, what? He'll raise you up. And so that's why. Because heaven and hell are real. How can we ignore it? It's the greatest thing that ever happened to you. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to anybody. Why would we not share it? The greatest thing that ever happened to us. We share other blessings with people. We get so excited over something that happened, some good thing. You'll share all kinds of stuff. "Man, I got so excited. I met Joe Namath." "Oh, you tell everybody who met Joe Namath." "Meant Joe Namath. I meant the creator of all things." Or whoever, maybe. I don't know. His name just came out of nowhere, you know. But what I'm saying is, all these things that compare to the scheme of things aren't that great at all. He's just a person like everybody else. He or anybody, celebrity, they're just someone that was born in sin and needed Jesus Christ to die for them. And that the greatest thing that ever happened to us is when we met the Lord. And why wouldn't we be sharing it all the time? And number four, that there's an urgency. We admitted that these are the latter days and that we're close to the coming of Christ. There's an urgency. Jesus said, "Don't you say that there are yet 4 months and then the harvest is going to come. Behold, I say, you lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. Take a look around you. Look at all the people that are there that are perishing, that are needy, every direction." He says, "You look on the fields. They're white already to harvest. They're ready now. Every place you look, people so lost." And this is a day of harvest, not just because it's summer. This is the time of harvest. Do you know that in Bible times, at the time of Christ and the apostles, Lauren Cunningham showed some stats to us, and at that time, Christians, compared to non-believers, it was, and population wasn't that great at that time. It was like something like 1 to 557. There was one Christian to like 557 non-believers with, you know, a lot fewer people on the face of the earth. So we say, "Well, we're not gaining." Well, I won't tell you what it is today, what it was at least 10 years ago. I don't know what the stats are now. 10 years ago, it was 1 to 3. We went from 1 to 557 to 1 to 3. 1 to 3. Now, it's still a lot of people. Think about it. You say, we're not gaining. We are gaining. There are people that are being saved. I mean, you got saved. We say, oh, it's so hard to witness. Oh, come on. You were tougher than nails, some of you out there. You're so stubborn and self-centered. And if God can break through to you, he can break through to anybody. If God can break through to me, he can break through to anybody. So I want to see, this is a day of harvest. How many of you are raised on a farm? Let me see, a few. But, you know, my father was raised on the farm, and I used to go work for his brother and for his father on the farm sometime in the summer, and, you know, I used to like it. But I know one thing. When it was harvest, he got out there and got that crop. You know, when that wheat was ripe, when it was time to get that corn, or the soybeans, or what it was, man, everybody was out working in the field. You didn't mess around and take a chance. You were going to lose the harvest. When it's ripe, it's ready to pick. You don't wait till a rain comes and it all falls to the ground and you lose the whole harvest. Or a strong wind or a storm comes. When it was harvest time, you get it. You get it. Jesus is saying, the harvest is ripe. You don't wait. The time is short. The time, the night comes when no man can work. Do listen to what I'm saying. How many of you believe these are the latter days is getting close? The Lord says the time's going to come where you're not going to be able to do it anymore. This is the time. Now's the time. It's white. It's ready. Well, I'm just into my own thing and pleasure and having fun and just joy and taking it easy. And I work hard at work. And when I come home, I just like to watch TV. Oh, I know that's really a righteous thing to do. But listen, the Lord has an urgency, you know, right now. Let's take a look at this.
Lord, I know you want me to share my faith, and God, I really want to, but it's hard sometimes. You know, I hear people talking about divine appointments, and I've never had a divine appointment. But God, if you want me to share my faith, then give me the opportunities to. Thanks. Hello.
Hi, this is Stefan. I'm calling to confirm your 9 a.m. appointment.
Okay, great. What is this appointment for?
It's for 9 a.m.
Okay, well, where's this appointment at?
You will see.
That's odd. I don't remember making a 9 o'clock appointment or having a personal assistant. Maybe all my hard work at the office has paid off and I'm getting some respect. About time. Hello?
Kevin, it's Stefan again.
Hi.
Listen, you really need to hurry or you're going to be late for your appointment.
What appointment?
The one at 9 a.m.
Great. Now I'm going to be late for work. Hey, Kevin. Hey, Emerald. How you doing, man? Nice to see you.
Actually, man, I'm not doing that great, man. My life is just a mess right now. But I did want to talk to you, man, about being this whole Christian thing. I know you go to church and stuff, and I was wondering if...
Yeah. 9 a.m.
At time.
What? Oh, Christian.
Yeah.
Great question. Listen, I got to get to work, but I can hook up with you later and get back to you if that's cool. Is that all right?
Sure, I guess.
All right, great, man. Have a great day. All right?
Thanks.
Oh, my gosh. Hello? What's going on?
So, how'd it go?
How'd what go?
Your appointment.
I missed it.
Actually, you didn't. Mr. Emerald Rowe, right?
That was my appointment? What's going on here? Who are you? How did you get my number? And exactly who made you my assistant?
Think big.
I'm not commenting on my neighbor's weight, man.
No, he's the man upstairs.
Mr. Jackson on the 5th floor?
No. Higher up than that.
Mr. Lowry on the 11th floor. That guy loves me.
Never mind. Here's the deal. You ask for appointments, you got them. Don't let them pass you by.
What? Is this about my prayer?
That's right. So here we go. Your next appointment is at 9:30. Let's do better this time.
All right. Got it. Who's it with?
You'll see.
Rick-a-doo-doo. Hey, Kevy. Drove my Chevy to the levee.
Oh, man. Listen, look, I'm waiting for something. I have an appointment, so I really...
Question. Who's better at their job, me or you?
Look, I've got an appointment,
Wrong.
And I don't...
Me.
I don't have time for this.
So, Kevin, when you're my assistant, can you call me Mr. Wachowski? That'd be great. And, let's see, I heard this song on the radio this morning, and it reminded me of our situation. I've been stealing your promotion because your substandard worth ethic is...
Hey! The only thing substandard around here is you, all right?
Don't be silly. I'm rubber, and you're glue. Everything bounces off me and sticks to you.
Listen, I really don't have time to deal with this. I've got an important appointment, all right? 9:30. Oh, come on. You gotta be kidding me. This guy, he is a complete... He's him.
Oh, so, Kevin,
man,
when you're my personal assistant, I think I'm gonna need someone to help me out with different things. So, how are you at making coffee? Cream and 2 lumps of sugar when you get a chance.
Yeah, I'll give you cream. I'll give you 2 lumps of something, buddy. All right.
If you let your anger control you, you won't be able to control your anger.
All right, that's it. Listen, I'm going to let you in on a little secret, Ryan, okay? Nobody likes you, all right? You constantly have coffee breath. Everybody tries to do their best to avoid you. People pretend to be on the phone just so they don't have to talk to you. If none of us had to work with you, we'd all be better off. We all hate you.
I have coffee breath?
No way. I'm not answering that. Nope. Hello?
Well, I could see him coming to church soon.
Really?
No.
Great. You don't understand. I hate that guy, man. You don't have to put up with him every day.
Just to remind you, Kevin, these appointments are being monitored for quality assurance. Let me assure you that that was far from quality.
But that guy's impossible to deal with.
Aren't you glad someone didn't think that you were impossible?
Yeah, I guess. This is hard, okay? I mean, I need help.
Help? Well, why didn't you say so? Look, on the next one, put your Bluetooth in, and I will help you get through it.
All right, hold on. So, who's my next appointment with?
You have a 10 o'clock with Mr. Pinkslip.
My boss? No way. No. Absolutely not. We need to cancel that one.
We're sorry, but there's a 24-hour cancellation policy.
Are you serious?
No.
So then I can cancel it?
No.
I really don't want to do this.
Trust me, you do. And here he comes.
No!
Is everything all right, Mr. Small?
Yes! Everything's great. How are you, sir?
Okay, listen, I know this is difficult, but just say what I say. Don't panic.
Don't panic.
I'm sorry?
No, you don't panic.
You don't panic, all right? Don't panic.
Who's panicking?
Just breathe.
Just breathe. Woosa, woosa, woosa.
Mr. Small.
Yeah.
Why are we breathing?
Lamaze class. My wife, she's pregnant. We're taking the classes.
Congratulations. My wife's actually pregnant, too. Where are you taking classes?
At our church, actually, there's a lady who teaches there, which is cool because, you know, we go to the class and she since it's our first child, she kind of helps us with our faith and putting our faith in God about everything. And then after the class, we jump over to the sanctuary for service.
It's interesting. Me and my wife have been looking for a class to attend. Do you think there's room for us to join? I mean,
absolutely. Yeah, you guys should come by. Class starts at 6, and then
never really had luck with the whole church thing, but I suppose it might be good for us.
Well, you know, about the whole church thing, we can just jump right over afterwards if you want. That's cool. That's, you know, we can talk about that.
You know, Kevin, I really have to get to a meeting. I have to run, but that sounds like a plan. Maybe I'll see you Wednesday.
Okay, but wait, I want to tell you that, you know, I didn't tell you about Jesus.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it. All right, I blew it.
What are you talking about?
I didn't lead him to Christ. I failed.
You did exactly what you were supposed to do. You were yourself. You shared from your heart. You planted a seed.
I did?
Yes. Not everyone sees the fruit right away. Some plant, some water, and some reap.
So what do I do about my boss?
You pray. You ask God to continue the work that he started. And you look for more opportunities.
Okay. Hey, Stefan, listen, I got to let you go. I got another appointment to get to.
Hey, with who? I don't have that scheduled.
Well, I got to go apologize to Ryan before our staff meeting and then track down my neighbor and invite him over for dinner.
Ooh, dinner. What are we eating?
I'm sorry, but dinner reservations require 24-hour notice.
Are you serious?
No, never.
That's good. You never know who's going to call you on your cell phone, do you? You know, it's the season. It's easier to bring people to Jesus or to share today than any other time in history. And that, I remember the first person I led to the Lord, I've shared before in the church, his name's Mike Bishop. And today, well, actually Mike worked on staff in Fort Wayne with me for a while, and today he's a full-time missionary with his wife. And when I shared with Mike, it was actually before I even started attending church. I was looking for a church, or maybe I just started attending, but I wasn't in the ministry. And I mean, I went to church. This is a long story. I went to church before that, but I mean, I got tapped into the right church and just had started. And I went over to Mike's apartment one night looking for some other my friends. Mike and I were, you know, not real close, but he was an acquaintance, and nobody was there. Talked to him for a few minutes, and I just started thinking, man, I've never really shared about my faith with him at all. And so I began to witness and tell my story about what happened and how I came to Christ. And we were just standing in the doorway. I mean, I didn't even come in. And we would stand there, and it's been a long years ago, but maybe I was leaving and just stopped to share. And he listened to me, and Mike was a real kind of quiet guy, and he was just kind of, you know, listening. I shared my whole testimony and how I came to Christ, and it took about, I don't know, 5-6 minutes. And then we just kind of closed, and I said, well, you know, I'll see you. And he said, okay. And then I saw him about 2 weeks later. I hadn't seen him for a while, and I said, hey, Mike, how you doing? And he says, man, I'm doing great. Praise the Lord. And I went, praise the Lord? I said, when did you become a Christian? He says, well, the night you shared with me. I went, what? He said, you didn't say anything. I said, well, you didn't say anything, you know. But, I mean, it's really hard. You know, you just share my testimony and you got saved. I mean, there's just people that are ready. This morning I was coming in here and Brenda, who's in the choir, talked to me and she said that, I mean, we weren't talking about witness. She just came up and she said, man, I'm just excited about the Lord. I said, I want to tell you what happened. I had one of my neighbors, I was working outside in the yard, and she just came up to me and she says, you go to church, right? Says, how do you get to your church anyway? I want to come to your church. I mean, that was really hard. I mean, you know, I mean, there's people, they're just waiting. God has divine appointments. You know, say, well, I'm sorry, I'll tell you later. I'm working in the garden right now. But there are people, if you just get it started. I told you the story. I went up and started talking to these two guys at the table, and one guy said his name was John, and the other guy said he was Lloyd. I mean, you know, come on, get the message. You know, the Lord does it. So it's a season. You know, the number one lie of the enemy to you is they're not interested. It's a lie. God's put it in the heart of everyone. They need Him. They may not even know what they need, but there's a hunger. There's a searching in their heart. A recent Gallup poll said that there are over 66 million people in America that are unchurched. And that in that poll, 34 million of them said they would come to church if someone invited them. There's some people out there already. 80%. Maybe you're looking in the wrong place. You're fishing in the wrong pond. 80% of all converts to Christ come from family members, relatives, other relatives, friends, co-workers, neighbors, and acquaintances. In John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it's day. The night comes and no man works. There's an urgency, though. We've got to get with it. The harvest is ripe. Number 5, that nothing brings greater joy to God, or means more to Him, or nothing brings greater joy to us individually than seeing a soul saved. You know, we saw that. You know, that gives great joy to the Lord. Just over one sinner that repents and come to Him, and then angels stop and rejoice. Nothing gives God more joy. The day that you got saved, nothing gives God more joy than when you individually got saved. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, as Paul is speaking, he says, well, what's our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Isn't it even you in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? You're our glory and our joy. That it was people. That was Paul's joy. That was his crown. That was his purpose. So what's greater? What's greater in your life than having your son get saved? Your daughter? Your brother? Your sister? Your husband? Your wife? Your mother? Your father? What's greater than that? Tell me, all the money in the world? What's greater? I mean, to see your son give their hearts to Jesus, or someone that's close, or someone you love, or someone you care about. And I want to remind you, see, there's the people out there, there's somebody's son, there's somebody's daughter, there's somebody's father, there's somebody's mother, and that God loves them even more than any one of us could ever imagine. What's going to be greater than that day that there's people in eternity that we've had something to do in the process of bringing them to Christ? What is really going to matter then? TV programs, baseball games, you know, whatever we do. Bowling league on Thursday night. And witness to them. And share with them. So, man, I want to tell you how to get a strike. Man, the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. Woohoo! I want to tell you, man, it was a 300 game. Man, you know, share Jesus. Nothing brings greater joy than when you share with people and then watch them in that process. Number 6, we are all needed and we're all called. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they were weak. They were scattered abroad. They were like sheep that had no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is so plenteous, it's so large, but there are not enough laborers. I want you to pray that the Lord of the harvest will thrust forth laborers. And he says that to us. How can we say, Lord, I want you to just send forth laborers into the harvest? And God says, how about you? Do you qualify? You know, but the Lord is still telling us. You know, remember that Jesus is a shepherd. He said they were like sheep that had no shepherd. He is that good shepherd. He's the one that died for you. He's the one that has the heart for the sheep. And what's a sheep? What does a shepherd do? He gathers sheep. That's the heart of God. That's His spirit. How many have the Spirit of God in you. How many want to have the heart of God? That's his heart. To gather sheep. People that are scattered. He says in Isaiah 40 and verse 11, talking about Jesus almost 800 years before he came to earth. And he shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his heart. So Jesus is that shepherd. You know, we have the Spirit of God in us, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit, he tells us. The Spirit of God is to gather sheep. Matter of fact, it's even stronger than that. Luke 11:23 said, he that's not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters. He says, if you're not gathering, you're scattering. You're really working against me. You're either gathering or scattering. That's pretty strong. And so God's called us. Every one of us are called. There's not an exception. We've all been given the commission. Number 7. It's love that compelled him. It's going to be love that compels us. Not just what's my duty. It's love that compels us to do it. Jesus said, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here poor and maimed and halt and blind. And their servant said, Lord, it's done as you commanded, but yet there's still a lot of room. And the Lord said to his servant, will you go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come into my house that my house might be full? I want to remind you of God's love for you, what he did. That's why we do what we do. It's not just, oh man, I got to do this thing. It's a responsibility I don't like. How can we not share it? I want to help you. Get a target. We've got prayer cards, you know, we've given to people. They're VIP cards with 10 people on a card that we pray for. I pray for them every day. But there's others around you. Get a target. Family and loved ones. Start praying for them. Look for opportunities. Compel them to come. Just invite them to church. Look at all the stuff that's going on all the time. We're starting a new series. It's really going to be awesome. It's right where they are. This God's six-step success plan. You know, it's going to present biblical principles, and there are going to be some humorous skits involved in it and some videos, and it's going to be classic. And it's going to communicate not only you, but it's going to communicate to non-Christians. And let's invite them to come. Get a target. Friends, co-workers, sporadic attenders. We all know people, you know, that were once here and now they're kind of drifting. The needy. People with problems. People that are discouraged. People that are lonely. People that are vulnerable. Widows. People that have been divorced or now, you know, have an empty nest. Kids, those that are ill or infirm, elderly, someone that's lost their job, they're going through some kind of a, you know, real problem. God will put people on your heart. And lastly, those that are in your weekly routine, that you just, you know, you see, you run into them. You know, the receptionist when you go into that office that's there, or the dentist's receptionist when you go in, or the mailman. Oh, I'm always sharing my mailman. The garbage man. I'm serious. The lawn guys. I give them water when I can. Talk to them. Invite them to church. I give the garbage man, you know, extra money for Christmas. Doesn't have to be much. How many customers do you think give money? What do you think a $10 bill from you as a customer to that garbage man is going to say? Oh, man. For one thing, I won't spill your garbage over the street anymore, you know. But it's opportunities, you know, just to invite them to church. And, man, it touches their heart. So there's people all around. The pool guy. Witness the pool guy. Share with him. Invite him to church. You know, repairmen that come to your house. They came to repair your toilet, but it's really their heart that needed repairing, you know? God, it was an appointment. God wanted to fix their plumbing. 34 million people said they'd come to church if they were invited. Love compelled him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, how he loves you. That he would suffer and do what he did for you. God made that clear to me when I was a brand new Christian and didn't even have found a church yet. He made it so clear. Never forgotten it to this day. I said, what more could I have done to show my love to you? And to die for you and suffer for you. You said it was the greatest thing that ever happened to you. And isn't it the greatest thing that would happen to anybody? And we ignore it. The greatest thing that ever happened to you. And we're going to ignore it. It's His love that compels us. It's His love that compels us. I don't see it as some hard duty. So what's the difference? Why is it, you know? What's the difference that those that have a heart to worship? Or those that volunteer and are involved in all kinds of stuff. I mean, whether it's singing in the choir or ushering or serving as an elder or deacon or, you know, I mean, there's so many areas. Or work in nurseries. What is it? What's the difference? Why is it that some give sacrificially all the time and just have a heart to give and love doing it? Support the building or missions or anything else. What's the difference? What is it that makes some people pray? What is it that they want to come to prayer meeting and pray for the lost? That it's not an obligation that they have to do on Saturday nights or before services. What's the difference? Why is it that some people, you know, just want to obey God and they want to witness and they want to invite others and they're faithful to Him? What's the difference? We know what the difference is. The difference is directly related to their heart. A heart of gratitude to God for His love for them. For who He is. Why are some people faithful and others not? It's just really simple. When we really see what He did for us, not going to be the same. It's not just a casual go to church thing, you know. It's an interruption in my time, you know. I could sleep in, I could go to the beach, or I could, you know, but I guess I'll go. I guess, you know, I feel guilty. I'm not here because I feel guilty. I wanted to be used of the Lord. It's because I love Him. It's because God reached down into my sin and darkness when I was so. I wanted to find His plan. I wanted to tell everybody I could. Happened the moment after, right after I had an experience with Christ in the hospital. I didn't even know how to communicate it. I just talked to everybody that came in my room. They thought I was crazy. I was just so filled with the Spirit of God and His love was, you know, and I'm just so glad to be alive, you know. They might have thought I was crazy, but God was pleased. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift, it says in 2 Corinthians see why are we going to share this summer? Why are we going to invite him to come? Why is it going to become a priority in our life? For those of you who love Jesus, it's going to be an outflow. Love flows out of our hearts that are filled with gratitude and love that's come in. What's eternal life worth? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We sang songs, you know, all morning. I didn't know what John was going to sing. And Salt and Light. And it was about, you know, sharing Jesus and I surrender and amazing love and all I do, I'll honor you. I mean, it's like we sing them, you know. You know, oh, yeah, Lord, I surrender. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Here I am. Hallelujah. Let me be salt and life. You know, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to share my love with other people. Oh, wait a minute now, you know. Whoa, I don't know about that. That's why I want you to vote first, not at the end of the service. Because then, you know, we kind of make excuses, you know, why we're different. No, I heard you. I watched. I saw the hands. You know, God's challenging every one of us to reach out to others. It's really not an option. It's out of our love for God. It's out of our love for others. And that it doesn't just, it's not that we're just going to make it a priority, you know, now for the summer. I mean, a way of life. This is just the way we're going to do it all the time. How many of you are saved? How many of you believe beyond a doubt, you know, it's the greatest and most important thing that ever happened to you? How many of you love God? If you love me, obey me. How many of you, you know, believe it's the latter days, getting close to the coming of Christ? He says, man, the harvest is there. You better get it. It's not going to be happening very much longer. You believe it. How many of you believe there's a heaven and hell? That means people are going one place or the other. I'm going to heaven. How can I just ignore other people now? That's such self-centeredness. Especially the biggest thing that ever happened in life. And we're not going to tell anybody? So if you believe that getting saved was the greatest thing that ever happened to you, and it's got to be the greatest thing that ever could happen to anybody else.